This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. Sorry, your dog's barking. It's Friday. I don't know. It's crazy. I'm in Phoenix, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 19th, episode 1194, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. So good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No. It's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
TGIF, baby.
Well, good God Almighty, this week's been 2 months long. Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, put the juice to my truck.
I have something that is absolutely going to make your Friday, Jamie.
Oh, God, bring it on.
Ben and Jerry's is coming to your rescue. Ben and Jerry's. I know that one of the things you absolutely loved was ice cream, and now that you're vegan, you don't get that so much. Well, Ben and Jerry's in 2016 is releasing its first vegan ice cream.
Oh, I'm so excited. The cows are going to be so happy. Leave them out of the pasture.
Yeah, well, they'll blow up if they don't get milked. So
I don't think it works like that. But what are the flavors that they're going to have?
Well, they haven't said. And they said they'll be either using coconut milk or almond milk for the ice cream base. Now, you assume it's going to have sugar of some kind and things like that, right? So,
I mean, regular ice cream has sugar in it, right. Buckets of it. So,
yeah, so I'm going to have something, but it'll be lactose intolerant and it'll be vegan. And tofu, maybe a tofu base.
Sorry.
And flavor free. But they had, I love that they have a picture of one of their flavors in here. They have a picture of the one with chocolate. I don't know. I don't know the names of all of them, but it's just loaded with chocolate in it. And you're allowed to have chocolate though, right? Or is that not? No,
it's not
vegan.
It's not vegan. You can buy some disgusting dark chocolate kinds of that don't have any dairy in them, but there's dairy like in everything. It's incredibly difficult, but I must confess something.
You're back to, you're off of vegan?
No. Oh. Still going vegan, but I'm vegan light. Okay. Because not having a kitchen, you know, I've had people working on my kitchen. They're supposed to be done, I don't know, a year ago. And so I've had no kitchen. So Chad has been out of town for 5 of 6 weeks. And the people at the kitchen have been working for 5 of 6 weeks. I mean, it's insane.
He timed that just right, didn't he?
It's irritating, really, is what it is. And so the only thing I could do yesterday was boil water. So I did have some mac and cheese, some boxed organic mac and cheese for Lucas and I. So I did break the lactose barrier yesterday.
So, I don't know how you don't. I'm resetting my diet. So I am on the strict part, which means no cheese for a month. That's the thing I miss the most.
Oh, God, I know. And the worst part is that I buy the crap for the kid all the time. And I'm like, there's nothing more exciting to me than just grabbing a slice of cheese and devouring it like a big, you know, Colby chunk.
Yes. Sharp cheddar.
I do miss it. I do miss it. But I do like it being 10 pounds lighter. So my horses appreciate it. I appreciate it. Probably my husband, if he ever saw me, would appreciate it. So
is he ever coming home, by the way?
He comes home today.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
And you're going away, right? Are you taking him with you?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
All right, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, following an emotionally cathartic rant by our co-host, we'll head on out to Moscow, Idaho, for a chat with Steve Taylor about that most American of breeds, the Appaloosa. and then running through the fence full tilt in an insect-induced frenzy. It's really bad ads. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I have a special Daily Winnie today. Rachel Rosenthal, our listener out there in Las Vegas. Our listener out in Las Vegas, because we don't know of any others.
We only have one.
Yes. She's the only one we hear from. So I think there's three horses in Las Vegas, and she owns one of them. So Rachel posted on our Facebook page last night, "So after a day at the barn that started at 5:30 a.m. and ended at 7:30 p.m. with the average temperature of 103 degrees, I stopped at the store on the way home for some much-needed Gatorade. Walking to the checkout, I saw it, sitting there on the end cap. Forgotten by someone, it was stunning. It was the most beautiful shade of yellow with just the exactly correct hint of green. It was, in short, the perfect banana. My inner minion released. I dove on that banana with all of the alacrity of my horse spotting and errant squeezy bun. I needed it. I wanted it. I had to have it. And with the minion song ringing in my head, I bought it. I sat there in my SUV, covered in the things that one is covered with after 14 hours at the barn. Between a broken bridle and a spur that not only isn't mine, I have no idea where it came from or whose it could possibly be, I tasted that banana, and it was indeed perfect. So in a hot, dusty parking lot in Las Vegas, Nevada this evening, I raised up my perfect banana and toasted you, Glenn, because you are the only other person I know of that really appreciates the green, ripe banana. I have something special for Rachel, because we're a club. And the next time I come to Las Vegas, Rachel, we are going to toast with the perfect ripe bananas together. But in the meantime, I have this special thing for you.
Ba 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 na na. Ba 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 na 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 na. Ba 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 na na.
I can't wait for that movie, by the way. I just can't wait for this movie to come out. That's for you, Rachel.
I can't top that.
Nobody's going to top that. You want to just skip your daily winning?
Yes, because I give it to you for coming up with that song and working minions into some part of the show.
I said to Jennifer this morning, I said I can finally get minions into the show legitimately.
Thank you, Rachel. Much like the cleaning stalls song, that song is going to be in my head for the rest of the day.
Banana.
I rode after the show on Wednesday, and I'm like, cleaning stalls. Oh God, it was in my brain. That's why I don't like them. They just stick in your head. Now I'm gonna be driving to Flagstaff, going ba 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 na na.
Potato. I don't know where he comes. Why he comes out with potato? But then how can a franchise where the main characters make no sense whatsoever be so popular?
You know, every once in a while, they say words that are Italian, and I thought, maybe they're speaking Italian. And then I watched one of the previews, and there's a couple words in French. I'm like, what the hell kind of language is this?
Just random words. They just come out with these random... The only thing they have really said that makes any sense is the whole banana thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just random words.
I've heard them say lasagna a couple times.
Yeah. And they say gelato, like for ice cream, so...
Yeah.
I can't wait for this movie. We're going to have a group movie day. We're going to pick a day. We're all going to go see it. And then we're all going to come on the next day and talk about it.
Okay, well, I'm not going to be there. You'll have to wait because when this movie comes out, I will be at Flag Is Up Farms at Monty Roberts Ranch. And I don't think I can say, hey, Monty, I'm taking a day off.
I think Debbie would. She listens to the show. She'd get it. It'd be fine. The horses can wait.
Screw taking my kid to the movie.
That's right.
I'll just go for the show.
Debbie, go with you. She's fun. Well, you are heading off to... What are you doing cross-country schooling? It's 150 degrees out there.
I know. It's brutally hot here. It was 117 degrees yesterday. This is super hot for June. And then it's supposed to be 115 today. And so I'm actually putting three horses in the trailer and heading up to Flagstaff, which is, like I told you before, it's a higher elevation than Denver. So it's a lot cooler. It gets down at night to 55 degrees this weekend. So I'm going to actually have to bring sheets for the horses. That is so sad.
Wow.
I know.
Shocking.
I know, it's crazy, but I think the highs are 90, so it's not going to be that much cooler, but 90 to 115, that's significant. But anyway, I'm heading up there because Coconino Horse Trials is having its annual fundraiser. So they bring coaches around from all over the area that go up there and they have students sign up. So I'm actually coaching some cross-country lessons, and Joey, my dear boarder and babysitter, Abby, who just bought Joey, she's going to ride, and a couple other girls are going to ride with me, and Edward is going to go, and I'm taking Duke for Chad because Chad's going to drive up and be there with us all weekend when he gets home. So basically he gets home and he's going to get in the car and drive to Flagstaff. So poor guy, sleep in a trailer when you get back. Welcome home. I guarantee no other fighter pilot is going to sleep in a trailer this weekend. but the so it's going to be great. Edward, like I was telling you before, has some issues with spooking, and this is in the forest. This is in the woods, so it's going to be pretty exciting. I might be that girl on many occasion, and I'm supposed to be the teacher, and I'm going to have the biggest nightmare horse of the entire place. I can't wait for Monty Roberts to introduce Edward to a plastic bag. I'm saving it for him, really. you want to see a horse freak out? There you go. Here you go. Here's the lead rope. I'll be back. So I'm excited.
What's wrong with you? In Road to the Horse, in 3 days, they have those horses so used to plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so simple. You just take one and you rub it all over them.
Yeah, and then when my horse has a heart attack and collapses, he won't even eat treats. Like, if I carry carrots, he loves carrots. In a plastic grocery bag, he won't even eat them. He stands at the back of his stall. So we're talking...
Jeez, what did a plastic bag ever do to him?
I don't know, but it is awful, and it's been so windy here, and I rode him, and I was walking back, and we have all these people working, and they all had their lunches, and a bag blew across the road in front of him. Oh, my God. It was, like, the worst thing he'd ever seen. So he ran back to the arena. So that was how bad it was. So I'm looking forward to going and letting him see the cross country course in the woods. Hopefully there'll be no plastic bags. But the problem that I'm having and why my Friday is becoming so tense is, you guys ever leave the farm and trust your farm to a farm sitter? Well, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, we had to. Yeah. And it was usually, in our case, working students.
I am having total farm sitter drama. And please don't post this on Facebook, because she follows us on Facebook, but she doesn't listen to the show. So I can talk about her, just not post about her. So my farm sitter decided that she was going to go hiking in Sedona for tomorrow, like all day. Well, it's 115 degrees here tomorrow. So my horses require a little extra attention. They drink their water by midday, and they have big muck tubs, because little buckets here would not work. So they have giant muck tubs full of water, but you have to top them off at noon. I'm just going to vent for a second. Okay. So you have to top the water buckets off at noon. They get their beet pulp in the afternoon because they need that extra water to help their gut keep moving. So they get a lunch of beet pulp and their grain all at lunch. And then while they're doing that, I hose them all off. Yeah, they're all super spoiled, but it's 115 degrees. And she's like, oh, I'll be there in the morning and I'll be back by the evening. It doesn't work like that. You can't just like, hey, I'm taking off. I'm kind of paying you to stay here. And what are you going to do with my dogs? You're just going to leave them outside. They'll be fine. It's only 115. And so I'm having an issue with my farm sitter. And she texted me last night this information at 10:45. And of course, I was asleep. So I wake up this morning to come do the show. And boom, I've got a text message going, I'm going to go hiking in Sedona all day Saturday. But I'll be there. Don't worry. So now I've just confirmed with my secondary farm sitter. This is a problem with paying teenagers. Is that they're just... okay, whatever. So the other teenager is going to come, but then I have to fire the first one and she's not awake yet. So I have to fire the one who was texting me late last night, telling me she's not going to be here all weekend, but she'll still be here to take care of the work. Sorry. So did you ever have issues with your farm sitters?
Oh, no, no. Ours were always perfect.
I detect a little sarcasm.
Ours were always perfect. Well, no, it was usually the opposite, actually, with us, because we always had the working students, and they were usually teenagers, 16, 17 years old, and they'd stay at the house, and you know, because we had the same thing you did, only we had probably had 20 horses at that point.
We had some that were real overachievers.
Yeah, and the problem was usually the other way. Yeah. We'd go away in the winter, and they'd have a blizzard. And they couldn't, like, even get to the barn. And they'd be in the house, and they'd have a blizzard. I remember the one time the roads were closed while we were gone, and the power was off. They had no food in the house. So for us, it was usually them getting the short end of the stick.
I remember coming home a couple of hours early once, and we had they came in teams, and we had our three-person team of working students. And the one girl had brought her entire family out and made them help. Her mom and her dad and her siblings were all there. They're all sweeping and cobwebbing.
I'm like, gosh, I want to hire her. Does she live in the Phoenix area?
Yeah, so
we
had some situations where they usually got the short end of the stick.
They didn't know it, though, because they were teenagers.
And, you know, they would pack the one time. I mean, the snow was so bad they couldn't even get the doors of the barn open. And it was feet deep. And they would just climb over the snow drifts and go out to the barn. To clean the barn, you know, they just piled it in the corners because that's all you could do. And you couldn't turn the horses out. They just really had a nightmare that week. It was really a nightmare. And by the third or fourth day, one of the families was able to get out there and bring them food because they had run out of food.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We were in Florida getting snowed on.
Yeah, we were actually getting snow in Florida at that time. I remember that. We were stuck in North Carolina in an ice storm. We couldn't drive.
I'm getting more anxiety talking to you. You were supposed to talk me off the ledge.
Are we helping here?
No.
But the horses were all fine.
Yeah, the horses
were happy.
Are great.
Yeah.
They had food.
The horses were all fine.
Of course. The horses always eat. It's
the people.
Those of us that go without. Yeah. So I'm just a little bit, I'm kind of reeling in my farm sitter drama. It sounds like the secondary farm sitter is going to be here, but I've got a list of people I had to coach this weekend that are relying on me getting there. And I would hate to go, I'm sorry, I can't. I don't have a reliable
sitter. I think you're just stressing because your husband's been gone. You've had workmen in your house taking forever to finish a kitchen. And everybody's been through that. So I just think you're stressing. I just think it's general stress.
And your son thinks Jimmy Kimmel's his dad. That would stress any mom out.
That's right.
Jimmy Fallon is Lucas' baby's daddy. Yeah. For those who haven't seen, maybe I should post that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I watch Jimmy Fallon every day. And, you know, he's kind of a pseudo tall, skinny white guy with brown hair. And every time when Chad is, since he's been gone so long, now Lucas watches Jimmy Fallon and points at the screen and gets so excited and is like, daddy, 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 daddy. I'm like, that's not your daddy. And I told Chad about it and he was a little irritated. He wants to get home even faster. So yeah, good times. Good times in the Jennings household.
They kind of do look alike though, a little bit.
I could see it. I mean, he's going to be super disappointed, though, when he finds out his dad's only a fighter pilot, not the host of The Tonight Show.
I bet you Fallon makes a bit more, too.
I actually sent the video to Jimmy Fallon a week ago, and I have not heard back yet. So I'm a little irritated with Jimmy. I think that
Jimmy
Ellen
has not responded.
Ellen, I need to get him to say Ellen is his daddy. Then we would get on the show.
Oh, she'd give you a car. You get a free car.
I know. Well, you know what that kid looks like? He needs a free education.
That's right.
I'm paying for his college.
That's right. You're going after the wrong show. That's your problem.
Dang it. Got to check that.
Well, I hope he gets home safe and everything's good. And then I hope you have a great weekend. You don't have to worry about everybody at home. It's going to be fine. going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. There are other people going from Phoenix. So somebody else is going to have to leave horses behind in this heat. It's sad. It's frustrating. The animals all get hot, the dogs, the chickens. I just worry about everybody. And that could be the question of the day is, when you leave town, are you actually able to leave? Because your brain
obsessed
with taking care of your animals and how's everything going. You know, I used to get frustrated with the farm sitter because she would never text me. I'm like, text me when you get there. And it would be like 2 days. And of course, have you been to my house? Have the horses eaten? Are they kicking their empty water buckets? You know, it's so frustrating.
Did you ever think maybe that's why they don't want to farm sit?
Yes.
You know, what we would tell them is, Jennifer was just the opposite when we went away. She would be like, do not call me unless a horse is dying. I do not want to hear from you. Do not text me. Do not call me. If a horse is dying, then you call. If they need vet help, don't call me. You know the vet's phone number. When the vet says the horse is dying, you call me.
And
that was how we did it.
Sounds good.
You need to adopt that mentality, Jamie.
That is the healthy way to go. You're probably right.
Hey, I have a couple news stories for you here before we get to our guest. American Pharoah returned home to Santa Anita to quite a welcome, huh?
Yes. Can you believe the rig that they put him in?
It's about 80 feet long.
You know, the first thing I thought of, it's like one of those huge tractor trailers. And if you guys didn't see it on social media, they put a wrap around it that's like American Pharoah, Triple Crown, 2015. And then there's 50 police cars escorting him. And I just couldn't help but think, would they need the police escort if they didn't scream to the world that it was American Pharoah on board? I mean,
just a tractor trailer hauling a horse.
Doesn't that seem a little smarter? Don't tell anybody.
Well, apparently the president arrived in L.A. yesterday, too, and they said there was a bigger escort for American Pharoah than there was the president.
So
he landed, actually, he didn't land at LAX. He landed at Orange County Airport, which I've actually landed out there. Or Ontario, I'm sorry. Ontario International.
It's cheaper.
And I've landed at that one a few times, too. And it's a smaller airport. It's a real nice airport if you ever want to land in L.A. But he landed there, so it was quite a hike out to the track, out to Santa Anita, and so they did get an escort. Now, they got stuck in traffic, and he was an hour late. So even the police get stuck in traffic in L.A.
Excuse me. Don't they know this is American Pharoah coming through? Hello.
And it was apparently Baffert's wife, Jill, had an operation or something on her hip. She was recovering some surgery for hips. So she was there on crutches. And basically, they said that Jill said, I wanted him back here. So I'm just glad he's here. He needs to be here with his family, with his extended family. It was just awesome because we saw him beforehand on the news with the choppers over him. To see everybody here, it's really exciting. So apparently Jill wanted him home and that was it. He was coming home.
The fact that they're watching on the news choppers over the trailer of their horse, that is so freaking cool. I mean, it's like, is that a police chase? No, it's American Pharoah. It's really neat. Now, I did love the fact that Smokey, the buckskin, was also on that tractor trailer because he travels with American Pharoah, and Smokey has his own Facebook page, much like Thor, and types himself. And so he posted a picture of the police escort surrounding the tractor trailer, and his words were, "Even a bodyguard needs a bodyguard sometimes."
That's funny. Well, apparently after he got there, he got a bath in the barn, and then Baffert took him on several trips around the walking ring, along with Victor Espinoza was there, and they took turns hot walking him, and apparently every time he reached the crowd, he'd stop and strike a pose, and then we'd go over and investigate the crowd. He really likes people, so he'd go over and investigate and hang out. And
Bob Baffert was not the one walking him, really. Yes. Oh my gosh. Baffert and Victor took turns hot walking. Did you see too that Gene Krugit, the jockey for Seattle Slew, actually was there and they let him sit on him?
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, wow. They gave him a leg up and he got to sit on American Pharoah. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
That's really neat. And apparently he's just a pretty quiet horse. You know, he makes Edward look, you know, crazy.
Well, Edward is crazy, so that's how it rolled. It's fairly cool, but he still had his earplugs in, 200 people, cameras, video cameras, taking a walk, posing for the crew. I mean, it's just such a cool thing.
But that was not the story I saw most often in my newsfeed this week.
Really? What else did you get?
Wisconsin. This is Wisconsin City, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. It's a city in southeastern Wisconsin, had a problem, and they dealt with it swiftly by a 14-0 vote of the Common Council. How'd you like to be on the city Common Council? Is there a special council or a preferred council? And then you're just like on the Common Council.
You're common.
You're just Common Council. I don't know if they have two councils or there's just the one. But anyway, some lady decided to bring her kangaroo, her baby kangaroo, into the McDonald's restaurant and called it a service animal.
What?
Yep. So they took it to a vote immediately and decided that they were going to define a service animal as a dog or a miniature horse.
Yay.
But not a kangaroo. So you're no longer allowed
Wait
to bring your baby kangaroos
second.
Into McDonald's.
I'm reading this, and it says that she had wrapped the baby kangaroo yes. in a blanket and tucked it into an infant car seat.
Yes.
So was somebody like, hey, let me see your baby. Oh, my God. What
she
is that?
Said it was a kangaroo as a therapy animal to help her cope with emotional distress.
Okay.
First of all, she's eating at McDonald's. Right there is emotional distress. So yeah. Maybe she should rethink where she's eating.
That's her coping is she eats because she's unhappy. And she's unhappy because she eats.
She could get a mini, apparently, now.
Well, you can bring her. But my mom, I got to tell a story about my mom. My mom has this little Yorkie. And my mother loves this Yorkie. And when my mother comes to visit me, she literally talks on the phone to the Yorkie with my stepdad, putting the dog on the phone. And she's like, Madison, hello, Madison, how are you? Is daddy feeding you? Is daddy? And I'm like, are you serious right now? You're talking to your dog. So she doesn't like to come out and stay very long because of the dog, because the dog doesn't eat very well or the dog doesn't get taken care of as well when Larry's home. So she decided that she was going to make Madison a service animal. And did you know there's websites that you go to and you buy one of those things for your dog. And
it a service animal?
Yes. She said, it's only $35 and I can make her a service animal.
It's sort of like becoming a preacher online so you can marry somebody.
Yeah, but they're not. I said, Mom, that's a scam. Like that's not actually recognized. I mean, I guess nobody's going to say,
yeah, who's gonna
I'm
question
sorry,
it? Yeah.
That is not, you know, I mean, but you, I said, Mom, what kind of service is a freaking Yorkie? It's not like it's leading a blind woman. You know, I'm like, it's a Yorkie that you're carrying around. But I guess you can have a animal cope with emotional distress and it can be a mini horse or a dog. So she might be good, but yeah, $35 and you can buy like a little vest for your dog.
That's kind of, I don't know. I don't know. The word's not unfair. It's kind of,
you know what it's
like?
Slapping
in the face to the people who really do need them.
It's like parking in a handicap spot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and my mama always said, if you park in a handicap spot, God will make you handicap. I was like, okay. So I'm terrified of even driving near a handicap parking spot. I would never think of parking there. So I kind of see it as that. Like, you want a disability? God will give you a disability. God.
My parents used to be that way about their dogs, too. I think that's a grandparent thing.
Is it? I'm like, you have an actual grandchild that you could come visit, but you can't stay very long because you're
That's
watching.
Ours was the same
dog.
Way. I always hoped that mom and dad would do something after they retired and would actually get out, even volunteer. They were, but you know, my mom was great with people. She'd have been great in a hospital. Nope, they wouldn't leave because of the dogs. They just would not leave the dogs home alone at the house. So they never left the house.
Well, maybe I should get Edward a little vest for $35 and say he's a service animal, and then I can take him everywhere with me since it's so hot. See, I tied it all together.
There you go. There you go. Well, let's hear from our sponsor, and that's Kentucky Performance Products. And then we're going to come back in just a minute to talk to our first guest, a little breed highlight for you today. And the breed is the Appaloosa, who a lot of us, I know we've owned one, and I know a lot of the audience has owned them or still do. So we're excited to talk to the CEO of the Appaloosa Horse Club in just a minute.
She swallowed hard as they walked into the start box. She could feel his muscles tense under her leg. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have a great ride. She didn't have to ask. He galloped out of the box and across the field toward their first training level course. His ears pricked. Her heart pounded. He attacked each obstacle with confidence, clearing them with room to spare. A huge smile broke out on her face as she crossed through the finish flags. She leaned forward and buried her face in his neck. Their bond of love and trust blocked out all else. This love story is brought to you by Elevate. Research proven to have superior bioavailability. Elevate supplies the essential vitamin E often missing from the equine diet. Its all-natural formula supports healthy muscle and nerve functions. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Okay, so maybe Elevate maintenance powder was what I needed when I did that first cross-country course with Jet, because that sounded a lot better than the first training course I did with Jet.
There were no plastic bags at the start, is what they
were. No, I took Jet training, and it's like, oh, he bounded out. Like, Jet reared and bucked out of the starting gate. He tackled every course with confidence. He spooked at every jump coming up. As they crossed the finish line, she buried her face in his neck. I was holding his mane. He was half bald because I yanked out half of it. Sorry. Elevate maintenance powder. That's what Jet needed.
And you can find Kentucky Performance Products also on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. They're always posting good nutritional information over
good
there.
Lord. That was awesome.
And they have also re-signed and will be continuing with us for another 6 months through the second half of the year. We want to thank them for that. They are our longest running sponsor and have been with us since our third month for 7 years now. So we really appreciate Kentucky Performance.
I'm buying some dang Elevate right now. See if I can get it here by this afternoon.
Well, let's talk to our first guest today. His name is Steve Taylor. He's the CEO of the Appaloosa Horse Club, which is the registry for Appaloosas, like the association. And we're going to do a breed highlight today on Appaloosas. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you.
Good to talk to you, too, and we appreciate you taking time out. I know that you have a very busy time coming up here starting next week with the National Appaloosa Horse Show, which is a very big deal. How many Appaloosas do you get at the World Championships there?
Well, this is a combined event, actually. The first week is our national show for open and non-pro exhibitors, and then the second week is our youth world show, we call it. So all in all, we think we're probably going to have somewhere between 700 and 750 horses, probably. Wow. And obviously, if you've got families and horses, you know that mom rides the horse, the kids ride the horse, maybe even a trainer rides the horse. So some of these horses are going to have a busy 2 weeks.
And this has to be one of the most colorful horse shows ever.
Well, we hope so. It's obviously, the Appaloosa breed is noted for its color, but some people get confused because they'll come to our show and they'll see solid colored geldings in the halter class and colorful stallions in the stallion class. But, you know, it goes back a long way. We've been what they call outcrossing with thoroughbreds and quarter horses and Arabians since way back when. And so a lot of times the color genes, sometimes they express themselves in crazy wild ways and sometimes they're pretty quiet. So the point is, we really have a variety for everybody. If you like a bay horse, we've got a bay horse. If you like something that's got splotches and splashes and spots and all kinds of different patterns. We've certainly got that too.
Is that so, the official terms the too? See, I've been saying that all along, and I didn't know I was saying splotches and splashes and spots. I didn't know that was the official term. Now I'm validated now.
Well, it's really not. I made that up because the paint horse folks will probably paint horse folks will borrow the splotches and splashes, but it is really fun because we actually have a class called Most Colorful at Halter. So when you get 30 or 40 horses in there that have the wildest coat patterns you can imagine, it is pretty special.
Well, tell us a little bit about the history of the breed. When did, I don't know, is it right to say when did the Appaloosa start?
Sure, absolutely. The breed, of course, we're pretty sure has been around since the beginning of horse time, because we've got some ancient evidence of that all over Southern Asia and France and everywhere you can think of on the globe where there were horses. But years ago, there was an article that appeared in Western Horseman magazine, and some breeders up in the Northwest, up in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho got together, and they said, you know, these horses have been through a lot. They've been through the Nez Perce Indian Wars, and they got scattered after that and ended up on some of our ranches and some of our farms. Let's see if we can't preserve this. So a group of guys got together in 1938 and formed the Appaloosa Horse Club. So we've been around a little over 75 years, really one of the first stock horse breeds in the U.S. And that's the other thing that we brag about with this national show. It's our 68th National Appaloosa Show. The very first one was in 1948 and up in Lewiston, Idaho. So a lot of history, a lot of dedicated people over the years who've really tried to focus on keeping the bloodlines going that they started with, and obviously that's our job as a registry.
What does to be registered as an Appaloosa? You talked about crossbreeding with thoroughbreds and the like, quarter horses and things. To be a registered Appaloosa, do you have to be, you know, what percentage has to be Appaloosa?
Well, it's really not based on percentages. It's a lot like every other breed. They have certain breed characteristics and breed standards. In our case, Appaloosa characteristics are considered things like striped hooves, which are pretty unique to the breed. They've got what we call mottled skin, which is also unique to the breed. And then they have a little extra white around their eyes, the white sclera, and it's a little more, tends to look more like a human eye than what you think of when you see just a dark horse eyeball. But those are the three main characteristics that we go by, in addition to, obviously, a coat pattern. So if you've got a combination of those, you can be what we call regular registered. And then if you're not obviously showing all of those characteristics, but through DNA we know that you've got Appaloosa parents, then you still get to be a registered Appaloosa.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that it's actually one of the most popular breeds in the country.
Well, we sure like to think so. Obviously, the whole horse industry has gone through ups and downs, and the world's changing, and we've got a lot of folks with other things on their minds besides spending hours and hours of their days and weekends with horses. So we're competing against a lot of other choices for leisure, time, and money. So we've all got together as breed associations and specialty associations and horse council groups. Everybody's talking about, what do we do to change our appeal a little bit? Because we have to be honest that this big horse show that's coming up this weekend that we're so proud of is not as spectator-friendly as it was 20, 30 years ago. And we've got to think about more than just making it a show for ourselves and for our exhibitors. We've got to think of it as something that we can use as a tool to market and educate to the public and talk about not just the breed, but the horse industry and what it does for kids and all the things that go into making it all happen for these folks that they see in front of them. So, you know, the best example of all of that, and every breed you talk to has got the same issue. Over the years, we've added classes so that we can break down our different levels of competition. And so now when you've got 200 plus classes, it's pretty hard to explain to somebody what all the different nuances are of those. So everybody's having conversations about how do you condense the schedule? How do you make it a little more attractive to the average person who's maybe had a thought once in a while about getting a horse, but they really haven't had somebody reach out to them and help them along?
You know, you're right. And it is true of every breed, because we talk to them all here on the shows. And what a lot of the disciplines are doing is they're trying to make it more of a show, quote unquote. Instead Absolutely. Of just a breed class, they're throwing in things that are more exciting for spectators to watch. And I think that's universal. I think that's across the board. And I think you're right. We have to do that. We have to make it more of an entertainment event if we want people to come in that are not horse people and dedicated, in this case, to a breed. It could be a discipline, too.
I was thinking on the way down here just yesterday, it's almost like we need to think of in terms of some of these community fairs and even county fairs where you've got food and music and art and activities for the kids of all different kinds. And there's a distraction for everybody who doesn't like the main event. And even when I went to a car show not that long ago, there was live music, there was food, there was some interactive stuff, an educational program. So we may have to think in more terms like that, I think.
I agree. And I think that the shows that are doing that, Devon comes to mind. A couple of the shows that do that and combine it with those other things are drawing the crowds, because it's not the only thing. You're right. There is things there for the people who really do want to come and maybe watch a couple classes, but don't want to spend a whole day doing it. That's where the difference is. Well, let's talk about the classes that you have. I mean, the Appaloosas do everything. We had an Appaloosa that we used to have as a lesson horse, and he was a great big horse too. I mean, you can get some big Appaloosas. This one was 16 plus hands and must have weighed 1,800 pounds. I mean, Chip was a big horse, but it was great for lessons, And we wrote him English. Now, there are apps doing Western English, all things, right, in these classes?
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of joke among ourselves when all the breed guys get together we all say that our breed is a versatile breed. Well, horses are just versatile because they come in all shapes and sizes and talents. But yeah, we've got cattle events, we've got some really outstanding cutting horses, we've got some great reining horses in our breed, we've got some great working cow horses, we've got obviously the Western events, whether it's pleasure or horsemanship or Western riding or trail, and then whether you call it English or hunter under saddle or whatever, but we think that's one of the areas that our breed's probably made the biggest improvements over the last 8-10 years, probably. We've got some world-class hunt seat horses. We've got some great riders. We've got some great youth coming up. And so we have a variety of events for all of those folks. And then in our games classes, I guess the thing that does make us a little unique is that when we run our poles and barrels, we run horse against horse in heats, in brackets. And so it's kind of an elimination tournament to get down to the top two finalists. So when you get down to that last
finals.
Yeah, it really is. And when you get down to the last two horses running for first and second, it's pretty cool. And the fans get pretty excited about that.
Well, one of the things, too, that Appaloosas people think about and they have a reputation for is ERU or moon blindness or night blindness, whatever you want to call it. Is that something that is a significant thing when you're an Appaloosa owner that you think about, or is it something that's just a myth?
Well, no, it's a real thing, and obviously, or unfortunately, I guess, we're not the only breed that's susceptible to that. But the people who do a little research and understand what they're dealing with can manage around it or manage with it fairly well. But it is a genetic thing that we have to understand and deal with. And that's one of the really good things about some of the advances we've seen in DNA technology and some of the disease testing protocols that are out there now. We can understand a lot more about what we've got and what we're dealing with and what matings maybe to avoid and a lot of different issues that can be addressed just by understanding more about genetics and science.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, that's something that all the breeds are obviously trying to do. You try and focus on eliminating some of the areas that are the most troublesome through breeding, and sometimes you can succeed at that, and sometimes it's tougher. I mean, it's just tougher to do. What's the most popular discipline with apps, by the way?
We look at some of our class lists, and of course, on the youth side of the ledger, it's really showmanship and horsemanship or equitation. They really seem to gravitate toward that because it's obviously competitive, but it's also you're responsible for your own success, and I think that appeals to people. And one of the neat things we do during the youth show next week, we have some overlap days with the American Paint Horse Association Youth Show. So we'll actually have some combined events, some for fun, some are a little bit of friendly competition, but we have what we call our Champion of Champions class, so that the Paint Horse and the Appaloosa Club winners of horsemanship and equitation and bareback are in the ring at the same time competing for one trophy that's taller than a lot of the kids are, so it's pretty cool.
That's blinding. You gotta have sunglasses to watch that class with all the color.
Yeah, you really do.
That's funny. Yeah,
I'm glad my daughter's grown up and I don't have to buy those bangly show clothes, because I'd probably pick out the wrong ones.
Now, you got something else coming up too, and we do an endurance episode here with Karen Chatton once a month on the show, and you have the Appaloosa National Championship Endurance Ride, and that's probably not something you think about with appies too often.
Well, not really, but you know, as we talked about, with the option of outcrossing with Arabians, we've got a lot of folks who have done that with the goal in mind of competing in distance and endurance and competitive trail events, and so it's still a relatively small group of folks within our breed, but it is a pretty neat thing. And when you think about it, the time spent with a horse and on a horse to be conditioned for a race like that or an event like that, it's just another part of that special connection that people and horses seem to get. And it's a pretty neat thing. And when you also watch, I was able to go to our show or our endurance championship a couple of years ago when it was out in Oregon. And when you watch the attention and the focus and the, how tuned in the horses and people are to each other's physical condition and how they're handling whatever's going on, it's just pretty cool. And that's one of the things that we're also talking about, is eventually getting our endurance championship lined up with the Arabian Horse Association championships and having more combined events. And I think that's what we're going to see in the whole horse industry as we go down the road.
How many do you have?
Well, the last I heard, we only had 8 or so entered in this year's race.
No, I meant how many Appaloosas do you have? That was my question.
Oh, well, see, if I had horses, they'd starve to death because I'm hardly ever home. I used to own some Appaloosas, but it just wouldn't work these days.
Well, I heard that, I had this many, so I figured your wife is telling you how many horses you have.
I figured there were 50 at the farm.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about the endurance.
Yeah. So, there you go. Switch gears on you. Well, you know, we've owned them, and I know a lot of other people in the audience have owned an Appaloosa at one time or another. Now, they do come with a reputation for being a little bit ornery. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I think you are wrong about that.
Okay, because ours could be a little bit ornery at times.
Well, I've never actually met one that I didn't like, so there you go.
Well, maybe you like ornery. I mean, that could be.
Well, that could be. I can relate to it so easily, yeah. Well, you know, I think it's, and this is total honest, I really think it's all about understanding what your horse's personality is. It's not them that's got the issue sometimes. I think it's us that don't go to take the time and the trouble to kind of get a sense of what they're really going through and what they're really thinking about, watching what they react to and how they react and understanding that. I think by the time you've blended genetics over several thousand years, you pretty much have a similar pattern across the horse industry. So I'm not sure you can point out too much personality difference among breeds, but I've heard that, obviously, but honestly, I just haven't experienced it myself.
Well, and amen to what you just said there, too. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. What's the website for the club?
Just Appaloosa.com.
Appaloosa.com.
Pretty easy to find. And the folks who want to tune into the show, there's a small subscription fee, but it's they can find that either through our website or it's called 123actionvideo.com with the number 123actionvideo. And they can go there and watch every event. And, of course, on our website, they can take a look at the show schedule and see what else is going on and what kinds of events they might want to come and
watch. And this is June 22nd through July 4th.
On Monday, the 22nd, yeah.
And that's it. That's in Fort Worth, Texas. It's at the Will Rogers Equestrian Center in Fort Worth, Texas, June 22nd through July 4th. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and good luck at the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks to you guys.
All right. Take care, Steve.
Thanks.
I wanted to see what his answer would be on the Appaloosa question there at the end, because you could say that about any horse breed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just think that you must have not understood your Appaloosa. That's what happened.
Well, that's probably true. He was an individual, that's for sure. He was a fun horse, though. I mean, we had him for a lot of years. We ended up selling that horse. We used to have him as a lesson horse, and we ended up selling him actually to a Jewish camp, I think it was a day camp. And they had horses there, and they gave lessons. And they loved him. We talked to them years later, and they still had Chip. And aww, they were still using him for camp. So he was a neat, neat horse. And he was spotted, and he was big as a house. I mean, you didn't need a saddle. You could just sit a family on him.
Easy keeper.
He was big as a house. He was just had that flat back too, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was really cool that way. It was a lot of fun. Have you ever owned an app?
I had a POA, which is, as we know by our last breed highlight, the POA Pony of the Americas is a cross between an Appaloosa and a Shetland. I mean, and then they've made that into its own breed. So, that was my first kind of first pony, Snowflake. And she was totally solid white, but if you hosed her off, she was an Appaloosa under all that.
That's the thing about Appaloosas. What he said, you could see some solid ones and you're going, you don't know what they are. You think they're a quarter horse or, you know, something like that, because you're never quite sure. They can just be, and I know a lot of our listeners have Appaloosas. So we hope that you had fun talking to Steve or listening to Steve and talk about your particular breed. Next, we're going to hear from EcoVet, and then we're going to play a little song for you. Today, I have our friend Flora Magali from Switzerland, and she just came out today, actually this morning, with her new video. It's called Hungry for Your Love, and I posted it on our Facebook page, and I want you guys to watch the video, because I did an one-on-one interview with her on Stable Scoop a couple weeks ago. She grew up in this little village in the Alps in Switzerland, and it's the village was at the very edge of the Alps, and it was up elevated a little bit, 3,000 people. You can just picture it, and it is what you picture. And when she did this video called Hungry for Your Love, you're going to see she starts in the pool, but hang through the pool part and get to the end, because she actually does her first hang gliding in the video, and she hang glides over her village. She starts at the kind of the top of the Alps and then hang glides over a village, and there's some beautiful scenery there of where she grew up. So take a watch of that. It's on our Facebook page, and she's just a great singer too. This is a little poppy for her. It's more of a pop song, and she doesn't usually do those, so I think you're going to like it, and it will play that right after this word from EcoVet. And of course, really bad ads coming up.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if your horse could enjoy a zone of repellency from pesky flies? Well, he can with EcoVet. EcoVet is an entirely new type of fly repellent that is safe for horses and those applying it. offering a real alternative to toxic pesticides like pyrethrins. EcoVet confuses an insect's normal directional ability, the bug's GPS, if you will. So if it can't locate your horse, it can't bite your horse. Dr. Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show has been using it in South Florida, also known as the Jurassic Park of biting insects, and she just loves it. EcoVet's active ingredients are naturally occurring food-grade fatty acids that have been clinically shown to improve the condition of horses with difficult-to-treat sweet itch problems. EcoVet is effective on mosquitoes, ticks, noceums, as well as flies. You can visit EcoVet online at eco-vet.com for more information or to order. You can find EcoVet at Dover Saddlery Stores and EcoVet's on Facebook. Just search EcoVet, E-C-O-V-E-T.
That's Fleur Magalie. You can find all of her music at our website. It's FLUERMagalie.com. And you can see the video. I posted it over on our Facebook page. Also, if you want to listen to the one-on-one interview I did with her on Stable Scoop, it's Stable Scoop episode 353. We had a lot of fun. She grew up riding ponies there in the Swiss Alps. It's really a cool story. Some place I'd love to go visit sometime. It's absolutely beautiful scenery in that video.
It's a really good song. I like that.
Yeah, and I think she wrote that, and it's a lot more pop than I'm used to hearing her sing. So it was really cool.
Sure is better than that stall cleaning song.
Well, we are Horses in the Morning, and I am Glenda Geeks here with Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, and Coach Jennifer is in their producer chair. And we are brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. I have a quick tech tip of the week, and then we'll be off to really bad ads brought to you by Equity. Well, my tech tip of the week is a lot of people may not know that if you find a picture on the internet that you like, and you probably, I don't know how to do this on a phone, but I know you can do it on a computer. If you find a picture on a website and you're going, I wonder where else that picture is, and a lot of photographers do this to see who's stolen their pictures, you mm-hmm. can right-click on the picture, and there's a whole list that comes up, and what you want to do is choose Search Google for this image, and it will do a Google search and look for the characteristics of that picture. Now, I did it on a couple that we have used recently, and it did a good job of finding other websites that had the same picture, and then some of them it didn't find the picture at all. So it basically brought up options that said these pictures are like it or very similar images. And usually if they had a horse in it, it was other pictures with horses in them. And it was interesting because I did it on Fleur's picture that we used on our website, and it was her and a horse. And then it brought up very similar images, and it was girls and horses. And holding the horses in much the same way. It was very interesting what it picked out. And it's just amazing that it can do that in the first place. But anyway, there's a little trick that you may not have known about.
Search Google for this image. Huh. So you can find, like, if you posted a picture of yourself, you can see where you've gone.
Exactly. And if they kept the same name, now, if they change the name, then it may not find it. But, like, photographers get their pictures stolen all the time, and they can actually embed code in pictures, and it'll look for that code, and then they can find where their pictures have been used illegally. So
I'm going to Google myself.
It's a little trick. It is a little trick you can do. There's my tech pick of the week. All right. What do you say we do some really bad ads?
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It is that time of the week. Time for Really Bad Ads, brought to you by EquityMFG.com. And I know one person that has already, I predict, has already packed her Flexin' Fork or her Shakin' Fork or both.
You know how I love to take the Shakin' Fork to the horse shows. There's going to be 130 horses here. And you can hear, you know, that's like when there's that temporary stabling, you know, you can stick the Flexin' Fork, the Shakin' Fork in your shavings, hit the button, and people come from miles around like, oh, what's that noise? Because it's like, and everybody wants to play with it. I am the most popular person at a horse show having a Shakin' Fork. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants to play with it. And people from all over the Southwest are gonna see it this weekend. I love to share, so I got to make sure it's good and charged up. But it's rechargeable. You just plug it in, take it out, put it in the shavings, hit the button, and it does all the sifting for you. It's genius. I mean, this guy must be like some sort of, wait, he is an inventor and a genius. So it had done with love. And he's also a horse owner, that Joseph, who made and invents it and owns the company. And I just can't say enough about the Shakin' Fork. Especially because we don't have bedding here at my house because it's so windy that blows all the bedding out. So we just have the Mare Motels. And so, yeah, I don't use it at home, but I use it a real way. Now, for home, I use the Flexin' Fork. And man, I've had the same one for 3 years now, and yep, it never breaks.
Us too.
It's worth it.
Shakin' Fork, we've had for 3 years also, and the battery's still charged. I mean, it'll last days. I mean, the battery still charges just fine. I can't say that for any cell phone I've ever had.
Yeah.
The battery after 2 years dies. I mean, iPhones are known for that. You know, that's why I actually, that's why I got an Android phone, so I could change the battery out. But
and now nobody likes you anymore because you don't have an iPhone.
But you don't have to worry about that with your Flex and Fork. And of course, we have to also thank EquityMFG.com for donating a Flex and Fork every month to people who submit ads. We do a drawing at the end of the month. If you submitted an ad, doesn't matter if you won or not, just you sent one in, and we put your name in a pile, and we do a drawing at the end of every month for a Flex and Fork. At the end of the year, we're going to put everybody's name in a bucket, and we're going to draw to see who wins a Shaken Fork with a value of $300. So, but today we also have a daily prize, and Jennifer's going to tell you about that.
This week's daily prize is a gift card from Starbucks. Woohoo! Who couldn't use some caffeine? And they have iced coffee because it's summer.
$25 Starbucks gift card.
What?
Who doesn't want that? Jamie wants to play now.
That'll get you like 2 mornings worth of coffee. Yeah, it's awesome. Just kidding.
Maybe 3.
I used to drive to the radio station super early, obviously at like 3:30 in the morning, and Starbucks was never open. And so finally, they opened one 24 hours in Atlanta on Peachtree Street. And I would literally go out of my way to drive by that Starbucks, and it was 4:01 every morning. And after about a month of going to Starbucks every morning, as I started to get fatter and broker, I realized that a 24-hour Starbucks on my way to work at 3:30 in the morning is not a good idea.
Did you see the calories on some of those coffees? God.
And
it's
I would
like
get
a thousand calories. I'm going, yeah. It's freaking coffee.
I would get a white chocolate mocha, and I would say no whip. Ooh. But oh my God, it's like candy. And No, can't do it. Can't do it anymore. But they have, pastries, and they have vegan food now, vegetarian food. Yeah, yeah. The little, I don't know. But $25.
How do you know all this about Starbucks, by the way, yeah, Jamie? Anyway.
Don't worry about it. There's actually one in the Air Force Base. And so every time I walk through the grocery store, I have to walk by it. That's why I know.
Uh-huh. All right.
And I used to visit it daily in Atlanta.
Well, if you submitted an ad today, Jamie, you have a chance of winning.
Ugh.
You're up first. Really?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm scrolling. Where are they? Okay, there they are. All right, Tracy sent in the first one. Oh, this is all capital letters, so they're screaming in your face. How does everybody not know that when you write all caps, people think you're screaming? Isn't that common knowledge enough at this point? Stop yelling. If people text me and it's all caps, I'll write back. It doesn't matter what the text is. I'll write back, stop yelling at me. I wasn't yelling.
You're
yes,
so
you were.
Sensitive.
All right. Small horse for sale, $550 in Greenville. Oh my gosh, is this Greenville, Alabama? It might be. Greenville, South Carolina? Could be that too. Plenty of small whores for sale. We got whores. We got small whores.
Small whores, apparently.
Plenty of small whores for sale. You can have as many or as little as you want. Most are broken and gentle, just sighting on my farm, ready to go home. Ime, Lami, if you're interested in buying all, we will be around $500 each.
Can't decide whether that's cheap or expensive for a small whore.
$500 and you get to take it home? It's cheap for a whore.
Yeah, it's cheap for a whore, I guess.
God, that's terrible. Sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
And we didn't. The ad did. It's all the ad's fault.
It was all the ad. It was Tracy who sent it in. It was all her fault.
That's right. Blame Tracy. Chelsea sent the following one in. It's the title is Riding Lawnmower. This is hilarious. The title is, Jennifer, you're going to have to post this picture. Riding Lawnmower, $1,500. Riding mower for sale. Mows the tall grass with ease. It doesn't need gas. Has fertilizer attached to the rear. And what it is, it's a picture of a sheep with a lawn chair on top.
One of those like white plastic ones that probably, and the sheep is so fluffy, it just looks like pussy stuck it down on the sheep. Oh, that's hilarious.
Fertilizer that attached to the rear.
That is awesome. I don't know where she found that, but it's
I didn't
not
know
Craigslist.
Sheep are that expensive. $1,500 for a sheep?
This one's got a chair, Glenn.
Okay, I forgot. It has a special purpose. Yes.
It's got a fertilizer attached to the back. It's pretty awesome. Linda sent in the next one. Free horse. Free to a good home. She put a note in here. Do the math. Okay. She is a retired national champion in poles and barrels in 2003 and now is 35 years old.
Whoa.
Still has heart. She is well-trained.
Well, at 35 years old, it should have said still has beating heart.
I know. I was thinking that, like, is her heart beating?
Yes, it's still alive.
She is well-trained and affectionate, but I wouldn't let children ride her because she's really hot. She would work up a sweat before I could fully saddle her because she was so antsy and wanted to run.
That just makes me want to buy her.
I think that is called untrained, is what that is.
Wait a minute. Okay, so we do the math. She in 2000.
Oh, there's more. There's more. Oh. Okay. I think she attached the registration papers to it. And the horse's name is Boo, American Quarter Horse, gender mare, age 6, foaled in 2008. Color, black. Are these two horses? I'm confused. As all get out. I don't even know.
Well, if she was a national champion in poles in 2003, and she's in fact 35 years old, that means that she was 25 years old when she was national champion.
Your math is a little off, my dear, but pretty close.
Pretty close. 20-something years old. Yeah. The math doesn't add up. and the other thing that bothers me about this ad, I find this ad sad. Because you've got a horse that was a national, unless you just can't afford to anymore. But
don't sell a 35-year-old. Exactly. Yes.
And that was a national champion.
Uh-huh. And you're selling a 35-year-old horse who probably has so many ulcers because you can't even tack her up because she's freaking out.
But
it's not because she wants to
run. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They can't afford him anymore and they're trying to find him a good home. Let's go with that. Let's just go with that. Makes me feel better about today.
Free to a good home on Craigslist never works out well for the horse. Let me just tell you that right now. But I wanted to say, Linda, do not write a note to these two hosts asking us to do math because Glenn can't even subtract 10. So please don't tell us to do the math.
Yeah. All right. If you're going to do that, do the math for us and write it out. Yeah.
Do the math. Like, put the equation in there and just tell us the answer.
Jessica sent in the following. The title is Beautiful Crazy Thoroughbred Mare, $700. I have an absolutely beautiful 15.2 Thoroughbred Mare and I'm unable to do anything with. This normally sweet 8-year-old gal has a wild streak that I just can't handle. She was raced one time and retired. She was one of those horses you see at the track, you occasionally see in the race that ends up turning around and running backwards. That was this one. She is very green broke with a perfect build for jumpers. She sometimes rears when tacking and mounting with no sign at all. Let me stress that this beautiful horse is crazy. Feel free to come ride at your own risk. Please, experienced riders and adults only. I will not do trials, lease, or any other creative ideas you have. It's simple. You give me cash, you get the crazy horse. So hook up your trailer.
Okay, can I just tell you what I mean, that is hilarious, but this person selling this horse has no idea what they have because this horse, if it rears when you're tacking it, has that weird girth thing where they can't put the girth on like Joey. Okay, this is not a crazy horse. It just needs some training.
Well, what did the Appaloosa guy say earlier in the show? It's just understanding the horse.
Right? Yes, they don't understand their
horse. They don't understand
their
horse.
So it's not crazy. You're crazy.
But you have to give them credit for honesty in the ad.
I'm really reading way too much into these ads today.
Yes, you are. You're being a little philosophical. You have been without your husband for way too long.
I know, and I have a little one that has just come in here, so I'm going to read this next one. Okay. Good morning. Hi. Okay, bye-bye. Horse, $350, Little Rock. Caution. Please read full ad before calling. You may and will be tested. This horse is not to be taken lightly. His name is Francis. He is a tall bay who can walk, trot, canter, and has some qualities some may find strange and scary. He is not for the faint of heart. Francis will rear on command, but his trainer trained him to rear to the word whoa.
Oh!
Think twice when stopping.
Oh, no.
Would somebody do that? He also bucks if you have a strong leg. Rider needs to have a light seat, light hand, and light leg. And Francis is not kid friendly. No kidding. No kidding. He is the horse version of that mean old man on your street who curses at children and sets traps around his yard to catch unsuspecting innocent animals. Email if you want him. Oh my God.
What is it with the ads today?
I don't know, but I want Francis. That's
who
so
would
cool.
train their horse to rear on the word whoa?
Oh, gosh, what a bad idea.
I mean, you're going to say whoa by just by habit. It's going to be like, you're going to be off the horse at the stop sign. Just, oh, my God. Oh. That was pretty good, Shelley. That was pretty good. Two horse trailer. Here's our trailer of the month. Two horse trailer, $400. Two horse trailer needs a little TLC, but it's a good sturdy trailer, asking $400. And
no, it's not.
Well, I gotta give them credit. This is the first one in 5 years of the bad horse trailers we've seen that's actually hooked up to a truck. Now, the fact that it doesn't have a jack and it would be sitting on the ground if it wasn't hooked up to the truck probably has something to do with it. But yes, it's hooked up the truck. It actually has air in the tires. Now, the rest of it's a bit of a problem.
It's rust. The whole thing is rust.
And it's air conditioned.
There's no roof.
It's a convertible. And it has one of those round fronts like you see on some of the convertible trailer. Why did they make them like this?
I don't know.
With no roof. Was there a reason?
It's a giraffe hauler is what it is.
It had to be. Or, you know, I don't know if the giraffe would fit lengthwise. It's pretty short.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad trailer. Well, Jennifer will post it on Facebook. You have to see it. Are you good?
He wants to play with my computer, but he will hang up on you. All right. Let's read one more.
Okay.
And then you guys can go. This came in from Lilla. A six-year-old purebred, like a loaf of bread, purebred Arabian gelding started. And this is $2,800 in Santa Maria. 15 hand plus Arabian great. Oh, gosh, there's no punctuation. 15 age plus Arabian great pedigree selling for friends started Western bet can go Eni direction with right discipline. Tall and beautiful horse, Maincom from Holster, show pedigree. Horse still green, but can saddle and ride to polish to array licking, need to sell ASAP. I don't even know what I read. I'm pretty sure that's Mignonese.
I don't know what it is. No idea. He's a long mane com from Holster.
What is that?
I have no idea.
I don't know. That's so funny.
And it's really disturbing, the whole licking part. I don't know what that's about either. So,
well, save the rest, or you guys can read them. I've got to entertain the masses here. And I would like to say that my husband comes home today. Yay.
Yay. Good for you. We're so happy for you. Jennifer and I will finish up here. You have a terrific weekend, and we hope everything works out this weekend with Edward.
Thank you. I placed my vote for the small whores.
The horse? Okay. All right. We'll take that. We'll take the horse into consideration.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you, Jamie.
Have a great weekend. I'll be that girl soon.
Kelly Dean sent in the following one. Toby, six-year-old paint gelding, $1,000 in Santee. He is smart, but his training is unfinished. He is a small horse or large pony. Probably better off with an experienced rider as he is in saddle. He is in saddle. I have no idea what that means. Rideable sometimes, leads always. A real gentleman, loves young girls and all the ladies. Good girth, healthy and sound. Good girth, healthy. Oh, it means he's fat. Main thing is a good home that will give him the attention he deserves. And guess what they'll trade for, Jennifer?
Weapons of some sort.
Yes, trade for guns or vintage music instruments. Oh, and his price is firm. We will call you.
Oh, well, how are you? Well, then we'll just sit back and wait for them.
Yeah, how are they going to know who to call? I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I love this. I love this. Probably better off the experienced rider. Rideable sometimes, but he leads always.
Well, you know, at least he's dependable, by the way.
Oh, we have a theme today, don't we, about the horses.
When you get chucked off of his back, he will lead home quietly.
Yes, he will lead home quietly, yes. But he's in saddle, whatever that means. I don't know, you know. Yeah. I don't know what in saddle means.
I don't either.
Probably has something. You want to read the next one?
Sure. This one is sent in by Dependable Uta. She always comes up with good ads. Horses, friendly for sale, $1,000 in Dufuniak Springs, which I think is in Florida. Horse for sale, 2. Mare, white, trained, older, good health, friendly, nice manners, $600. Gelding, brown, somewhat trained, friendly, plenty of energy and spirit, smart. $1,000. Both horses have been handled and petted for 3 or 4 years. Like to spend time in the backyard.
All right, read between the lines, people. They have not been ridden in at least 10 years. Oh, spirited is always a good word in an ad, huh?
Like to spend time in the backyard.
Plenty of energy and spirit. You know exactly what that means.
Yeah. He spends time in his neighbor's backyard.
Yes. And, yes. And like my pony spends a lot of time taking the other horses' halters off, fly masks off, and muzzles off. Yes. Yeah. Last one of the day, Susan Jenkins sent in this one. Horse for sale, $6,500 in Utica. Woo, way above our normal price. Splash is a train horse and a Sucha gem. She will respode to leg commands and has nice short stride. She was lame for a few months, but is now back in the ring. I trail ride with her, and she is quiet most of the time. You can ride her in any kind of saddle or bridle, and she will jump, but haven't ever tried. How do they know? She is not for beginners, of course, because no horse apparently is ever for beginners anymore, because she likes to move and can be a hopper.
thus the jump.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thus the jump. Bunny rabbit thing. Yeah. Please email me with a number and I'll call you. Do not call me. Boy, we have lots of trends today.
Craigslist is now an outbound call center.
Yes, so that's correct. And apparently they know by osmosis who really wants this horse. She was lame for a few months, but she's okay now, except for the whole hopping and, you know, bolting thing. But other than that, she's great. You can ride her in any kind of saddle. Yeah. It's fine. No problem. Thank you, Susan, for sending those in. You know, I don't know if you plan them this way, but we do end up with themes.
I don't plan them that way. Honest, I don't.
It just seems like we end up with themes every week. Well, I think we're going to have to go with the horrors. What do you think?
You know, I don't generally get to vote, but I'm willing to go with the horrors. It was pretty darn funny. Although, yes. I must say, there are others that are very funny. So listen to these ads, people. This is what we're looking for.
Yep. This is the kind of ads we're looking for. So that's going to go to Tracy Garino? Garino. Let's hope I said that right. Tracy Garino. And you win the $25 gift certificate from Starbucks.
Da-da-da-da.
And of course, you're all entered to win the Equity Flexin' Fork at the end of the month and the Shaken Fork at the end of the year. Submit your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email, pictures and all. That's the way you can guarantee that your ad will be seen and make sure that it has a chance of getting on the show. We appreciate everybody that sends in. I know a lot of you send in a lot of ads. Not everyone gets onto the show, but Jennifer reads everyone and she picks out the ones she feels that Jamie and I are going to have the most fun with. And that's basically how we do it. Well, I wanted to mention too that if you would like, you can check out the app, iOS or Android App Store on your phone or tablet, and just search for Horse Radio Network. It's free. It's easy. All the shows, I think, are out this week, so you can check them all out. Stable Scoop Show is out. We had a little fun with that. Also, you want to hear about stagecoaches, you can head on over to the Stable Scoop Show. And I know that the driving show is out, and Dr. Webb Wendy had a talk about something that has been hitting the internet, and everybody that lives in Florida has been getting it sent to their friends over and over and over again, and that is the creeping indigo and how creeping indigo is going to kill your horse. Well, Dr. Wendy takes a look at the creeping indigo, and we'll let you know whether it's deadly to your horse or not, and we'll maybe dispel a myth or two about creeping indigo. So that is all over on the Driving Radio Show. Of course, Jennifer's been putting out shows all week over on Horse Tip Daily. You don't want to miss those either.
No, definitely not.
HorseTipDaily.com. Well, thank you, everybody. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you all after the weekend. Have a terrific weekend. Get a ride in. Wear your helmets. Be safe. See you on Monday morning.